As you can see here on the top of the screen, the title or the guide for our first Sunday singing this evening is Lies. And there were some specific lies laid out right there in the Bible that drew my attention. The first lie that we ever saw, obviously in Genesis, where Satan told Eve that she would not die, was clearly a lie, because she did die because of what she did. But then we see other examples of situations where individuals made a choice to lie instead of tell the truth. Now, the thing that gives righteousness power is that if you lie, you're going to face a consequence. Otherwise, people would just do what they wanted whenever without any sort of repercussions. And so some of the songs, in fact, pretty much all of the songs that were picked tonight, were picked with the idea of conveying that we must adhere to what we're supposed to do. We should do what we're supposed to do. And if we're faced with a situation where we're perhaps, you know, tempted to lie, this is why we wouldn't. Now, if you look at some of the lies that were mentioned in the Bibles, and you try and figure out a reasoning behind it, it's like, well, why did that happen? What was it that caused this to even come about in the first place? Now, the first one is, for lack of a better description to me, Satan being Satan. He was attempting to deceive because, of course, he had no love for God's creation. And so anything that he was going to do or anything that he could do to damage or disrupt or destroy God's creation, he was definitely going to do. So it's like, well, why would he lie? Well, that's why, okay? And I'll have some more to say about him in a minute. But then if you move ahead to the next one that you saw, where you saw Abraham lying because he didn't want anyone to know that Sarah was his wife. Well, why did he do that? Well, because he was afraid. He was afraid for his life. He had determined in his mind that if he told the truth, then he would be killed. Never mind the fact, okay, that he was supposed to be listening to what God wanted him to do. He made that internal decision, well, this is what's going to happen if that happens, so I need to do this to protect myself from that. And that's how you get yourself into those holes. He was afraid of something when he really should not have been. Continuing on with that, okay, there's another scripture that I want to draw our attention to, and it's in Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. And so we'll start off, and the whole chapter, really, I would encourage you to look at it, but I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 27, and starting off, I'm going to start off in verse 19. Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord your God brought it to me. Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau, so he blessed him. Then he said, are you really my son Esau? He said, meaning Jacob, I am. Another lie. Why? Okay. Now, obviously, his mother had put him up to this, but there was something to be gained. She wanted the blessing that Isaac was going to give to Esau because it was going to be for the firstborn and be a more powerful blessing, to go to Jacob, who was her favorite. So she convinced her son to lie to his father. And obviously the repercussions of this in terms of when Esau found out and all of that. Why? Just so somebody could get something that they didn't deserve, but that they wanted anyway. So again, personal gain there, and really for no good reason. Okay? And then, of course, the situation where the prophet lied to the other person of God. Why? To test him. God had told the prophet, do not turn around. I don't care who tells you anything. So then he encounters this guy who claims God told him to do it. How many times have we seen in this world where someone claimed God told them something? And that wasn't the case. And so the prophet, the man of God, who was deceived by the lie, lost his life as a result of that. And then if you move ahead to the story of Gehazi, which is really sad, when you think about all that Gehazi had gone through with Elisha, when you think about all the miracles that he had seen, he just saw Naaman cured of leprosy right in front of him. And yet his brain started working on him. And when Naaman offered all these goodies, and Elisha said, no, we're good, we don't need any of that, Gehazi's like, well, I want some of that. And so he went and he lied to Naaman. Why? For personal gain. But instead, it was a tremendous and devastating personal loss. We should be seeing a pattern here in terms of things that you should or should not do. And then obviously we have the very powerful example of Ananias and Sapphira. Again, individuals who were not worldly criminals, but they were in the church. And yet for whatever reason, perhaps to make themselves look better, perhaps to gain favor. But the bottom line was, they lied, and they got called on it, and they both dropped dead because they made that choice. And these sort of decisions are sad, but they're also very destructive, and yet they're very instructive. Because we can learn from these situations and we can help other individuals in the world who may think, well, you know, I just did this because. No, there's no because. Do what you're supposed to do and don't do what you're not supposed to do. It's pretty clear cut. In Mark chapter 7, starting off in verse 17, it says, when he had entered a house away from the crowd, it's referring to Christ, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods? And he said, what comes out of a man? That defiles a man. For from within and out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Deceit, lying, telling somebody one thing so that they'll believe it when the other is actually true. It is not, as we see directly from Christ himself, what we're supposed to do. But yet, because people are pursuing their own agenda, or they've somehow convinced themselves that that's what is best, then that's what they're going to do. And it's really a shame, because there's no winners here. There's only losers. A very powerful example of that is if you turn over to the Gospel of John. John 8. As a matter of fact, John 8, starting in verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, you just can't get a more direct condemnation than that. And yet, as we live and function in our world and deal with the situations that we encounter, we are exposed and we are sometimes victimized by people who are deceitful, lying, for the reasons that we talked about. Perhaps because they're afraid, perhaps because they're trying to turn a situation to their benefit, perhaps because they're trying to obtain something. But it really doesn't matter the reason behind it. Satan was just identified as the father of lies. Do we really want to be part of his family with that sort of a description? No, we don't. But the challenge that we face is, no matter what circumstances we encounter, we have to remember who we serve. We have to remember who we love. We have to remember what our purpose is in this life. Our purpose is to glorify God. Our purpose is to spread his gospel, which is the truth. Our purpose is to help individuals understand the actions that they must take so that when this life ends, they can save their soul. We have seen several powerful, clear examples of what happened to individuals when they deliberately told lies, when they deliberately decided, because it was their choice. No one can force you to lie. You made a decision. Jacob could have told his mother, "No, I'm not going to do that." Ananias and Sapphira could have been come clean in terms of how much money that they really made. Abraham should have said right off the bat, "This is my wife." And if they killed him, then he's with God. But don't let worldly situations corrupt your thinking so that you fail to tell the truth. People are watching. We tell our children to tell the truth. We get very angry if our children lie to us. We'll wonder why that is. How would God feel when we seek to lie to him? If we deny what he wants us to do, if we try to tell people we're something else when we should be following and serving him, it's not the message that we need to convey. So as we prepare to go out for another week into this world and engage with individuals, perhaps at work, perhaps at school, perhaps in our neighborhood, or wherever else we might encounter individuals, let's always be folks who are seeking to tell the truth, who are seeking to stand up for righteousness, who are seeking to clearly convey the message of the gospel, because it is the only truth that will save their soul. And once they hear that truth, what will they have to do? Well, once they hear it, they'll have to believe and repent and then be baptized. And of course, we have a baptistry right here. We'd be happy to bring them in and do that right away. There may be individuals who need to do that now, here. But even if there's not anyone who needs to be baptized, if you need to repent of anything, if there's something, you know, "I should have done this or I should have done that." As Albert said this morning, we will pray for you. We will pray with you. We will support you. We here as a congregation of Mill Road are seeking to do exactly what God told us to do, exactly the way he told us to do it. And as long as we do that and are faithful and true, then he will be true to us. So as we contemplate God's word, let's constantly seek to incorporate it into our lives and do whatever we need to do to be righteous. If there's anything that anyone needs to do at this time, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.